Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Here with Josh Venable and just wading our way through a very powerful passage of Scripture. And you're along for the ride. And I really am grateful for your participation day by day. And then also just your love for the Lord and His Word, obviously, or you would not be here. Take a moment, if you would, too, every now and then, and just maybe share with people that this resource is available. One of the things that you can really do to help us is to leave a review, rate the podcast and leave a review. That just drives a little bit more traffic, and our goal is not to be famous, for sure. But our goal is to get the Word of God into as many people's lives as we possibly can. So if you would help with that, even now, even if you just kind of put the pause button because you're going to forget in 15 minutes and do that, that'd be a blessing. So thanks in advance for that. We're in Luke chapter 22 and verse 34, where Jesus said, "Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." We talked about Peter's denial and a little bit of his pride yesterday. Now watch what Jesus says in verse 35. "And he said unto them," so now the conversation segues from this private conversation with Peter to, again, the group. "And he said, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything?" Hey guys, remember a few months ago when I sent you out on the sending of the 70 and you went to all the villages in Judea? And I didn't supply you with a lot of things. I just told you on the way, I'll meet your need and people will let you stay in their home. Remember that whole thing? And I said, "And when you obeyed me, did you lack anything?" And they all said, no, it worked out great. Nothing. We didn't lack anything. Verse 36, "Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. He that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must be yet accomplished in me. He was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end." And they said, "Lord, behold, here are two swords." He said unto them, "It's enough." Okay, so what is Jesus saying here? Because this is a little bit of a confusing passage.
Yeah, it is. I do want to point out before we really jump into it that it's interesting to note in verse 35 there where he says, "Hey, did you guys lack anything?" And they say, "Nothing." And of course, the teaching is obvious, but Jesus is going to provide for us along the way. You know, no matter what we feel we need, and I'm sure when he sent them out at that time, they felt like, "Jesus, really, you're sending us out with nothing?" But he meets their needs along the way, time and time and time again. And so now here they are, they're hours away from Jesus' death, and he's telling them, "Hey, if you've got a purse, and you don't have a sword, you might want to think about selling those things and getting yourself a sword." And then of course he asks at the end, or the disciples say, "Hey, there's two of them here. Is that enough?" He says, "That's good."
Confusing. In other words, you're kind of missing the point for now.
Yes.
I'm not really talking about right now. there's really two big thoughts to me in this passage. Yeah. Number one, that is that there are seasons in ministry. So 3 months before, 4 months before the sending of the 70, mm-hmm. in about the fall, October, November time, this is April, the season was different. There's still a messianic expectation. They're going to cities. People are receiving them.
Right.
The gospel message of good news, coming Messiah. There's still a lot of expectation. But all that's about to change at the trial indictment, when he's going to be numbered with the transgressors, which is a a Old Testament quote, messianic prophecy fulfilled. So in other words, the whole nature of the way that I will be viewed by the general public is going to change.
Yeah.
So when I was viewed through the kind eyes of messianic expectation, then you didn't need to bring anything with you. People are going to receive you into their house, give you a love offering. It's going to be wonderful. Okay, but now you're going to be people that were associated with a criminal. And you're going to be people that are going to be suspicioned, and people that might even be attacked. And you might have to defend yourself. And what is Jesus saying? He's just saying that ministry encompasses different seasons. What did Paul say? He said to Timothy, he said, you're going to have to preach the word in season. Mm-hmm. There are going to be times when it's accepted and readily received. And there are going to be times when it's going to be very difficult.
Yeah, yeah. And you need to be prepared for both of them. And that season has already begun to change, even in this week, since the triumphal entry. Of course, we know that they were celebrated. You know, here Jesus comes in and people are laying down their coats and Hosanna. And now, as the week has dragged on, the religious leaders have begun their plan to have him executed. And so all of this has begun to change and will rapidly change in the next few hours. And so, yeah, Jesus is just saying, hey, be ready.
So there's a seasonality to ministry in that sometimes it's going to be easier than other times. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people are going to be more receptive than other times. It's not that their responsibility was changing.
Right, right.
They were still to be preachers of the word, bearers of the message, but the way that was going to be received and how they were going to be associated. So before, they're associated as, wow, these are harbingers of the Messiah.
Yeah.
Boy, let's have them stay at our house, honey. Okay. Or now they are associates of a transgressor. Now, the nature of Jesus has not changed.
Right.
But the fickleness of people's thinking has changed, which brings me to my second point. And that is, there's seasonality in ministry. And then number two, people are generally fickle.
Mm.
When you tell them something that they want to hear, you're a good preacher.
Yeah.
When you tell them something that is unpopular, you're a bad preacher.
Yeah. Yeah. And they wanted to hear that Jesus was the Messiah that had come to throw off Roman oppression. But the reality was, that's not who he was. He had come to take away the sins of the world. He had come to be a servant to all mankind. And what they wanted to hear and what the reality was in Jesus' ministry didn't match up. And so now all of that is about to change.
So different seasons of ministry then call for different levels and strategies of preparation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one plan that fits every generation. It's not one plan that fits every locality. There are people in the world today who cannot operate in ministry the same way that you and I that enjoy relative freedom can.
Right, right. Yeah, I think of our brothers and sisters in China and other countries where they're facing persecution. They've certainly got to be a little bit more protective of themselves and of the people that they're, that the pastors, the people that they're leading, than we do in America, where we have relative freedom to share the gospel and to proclaim it from our pulpits.
Well, I mean, even in the United States alone, and certainly it's more pronounced on the world stage, as you just said.
Yeah.
But you know, here in Virginia, Josh, I could go down to the mall and I could set up a booth and say, "I'm a Bible believing Christian."
Yeah.
And I'd get a lot of people come by and say, "Thank you for that. I am too." Yeah, but if I were to go to, you know, Madison, Wisconsin, and set up in the mall there, you know, I might be, and I'm sorry for my friends in Madison, but you know what I'm saying? There are places in the country that are way more antagonistic toward.
Yeah.
So we have to understand that different seasons of ministry call for a different approach.
Yeah.
Where in the one, and in this teaching of Jesus, he's calling for the exact opposite preparation mm-hmm. as he called for
right.
the first.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But the responsibility doesn't change. Although the approach may change, and although the way that, you know, the ministry is accomplished changes, the responsibility to declare the gospel, in our case today, doesn't change. We still have a responsibility to do that. It's finding unique ways that fit your specific ministry context to be able to make that happen.
I love the way you said that. So we need to focus on the unchangeable thing. So what is unchangeable? Our responsibility to share the message. Mm-hmm. That's unchangeable. What's unchangeable? What's unchangeable is our corresponding responsibility to listen for the voice of God. Yeah. So in both cases, even though they were disparate plans, Jesus gave the instructions both times.
Yeah, yeah.
So I need to understand that Jesus gives different instructional plans to fulfill the same purpose based upon the situation. So don't get in love with the methodology.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and we're so guilty of this.
We are guilty of that.
Of just loving the method above the message, even sometimes. And the other thing that I would say is unchangeable is the message itself. And so we've got to be careful that we're not adding things to the gospel message, that we're not adding things to or taking things away from. But man, when I fall in love with the methodology over the message, that's a dangerous place to be, because the method might not be working anymore. And so we've got to find a different way to get the message out there.
I know we have probably several different denominations represented by the listenership today. So whoever's listening, I'm glad that you're listening. I happen to pastor an independent Baptist church, so I can't really speak for a number of other denominations, but I know that we independent Baptists, we really struggle with this.
We
struggle with making methods sometimes like little idols mm-hmm. that we worship. And then we begin to use them as the lens by which we view other ministries. And so, and I'll give you an example. So years ago, a great and blessed method was the bus ministry.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for that.
Sure.
Many ministries still have bus ministries. I'm so for that. But it's not the method that is timeless. It's the message.
Yeah.
It's the responsibility of reaching people. So there was a season back in the 1960s when the marketing strategy of that era was knocking on doors,
right,
knocking
right.
on doors. And so what did innovative Christians do? They knocked on doors, and that was good. And I still knock on doors
yeah.
from time to time. But to try to backfill that by making that, well, that's a Bible methodology that we have to do all the time because, bless God, after all, they went from house to house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not what the Bible teaches.
Right,
that's
right.
certainly not what the verse means in Acts 20 or in Acts chapter 5. So we want to be careful to teach the Bible for what it is and be ready to adjust our methods if necessary. And as you said, Josh, never to compromise our message.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, this podcast is a great example of what we're talking about right now. You know, I mean, this is what an incredible method to get the message out there. And just being innovative and thinking of new ways to get the old truth that's always been in existence of God loving the world so much that he sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins, to get that message out there to the world, finding a way to do that. And being innovative about it.
I'm smiling as you're talking because I'm old enough in the ministry now where I remember where a number of my colleagues were like, oh, Facebook, you know, you shouldn't be on social media.
Right.
And listen, I'm the first guy to tell you, I talk about the dangers of social media,
yeah.
and they're out there.
Absolutely.
But where would we be in this COVID crisis without the methodology of
yep.
social media? It's been a wonderful blessing.
Yes.
These are tools that we can use for good or for bad.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I think that if they're there, as you said, you call them tools. If the tools are there, let's use them. When you do a project at at your home. Now, if you do a project like me, then you don't use the right tools because you're too cheap to go out and buy them. But man, I tell you what, it's certainly a whole lot easier if you have the right tools. And so if there's tools available to us, then let's use them.
If you do a project like me, it's kind of like, hey, Brother Larry, can you come over and help me? Yes. That's a project like me.
And then you have all the tools available because they have them.
My tools are other people.
That's right.
And on that, my friends, I'm going to leave you for today. I know that we kind of rambled a bit today, but good application. And the Bible is a deep book and has all kinds of teaching for us in every facet of our life. It pertains to everything that regards life and godliness. And what a great takeaway. So I hope you have a great day in the Lord. Today, look to tell someone about Jesus, and I'll look to see you again next episode. God bless, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.